This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. An Alaska State Forestry plane went down after takeoff in Aniak Thursday around 4 p.m. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced the news during virtual town hall. Division of Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry said the pilot and three passengers on board survived with non-life-threatening injuries, but he says they're still trying to confirm the seriousness of the injuries. The pilot is an employee of the Division of Forestry, but the agency has not confirmed that the three passengers were also employed by them. Mowry says the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration have been notified of the accident. Next, in health. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation has completed its initial round of coronavirus testing in Quinnahock. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports all the rapid test results have been negative, but hundreds more are currently being processed at a state lab.
On Tuesday, YKHC confirmed the region's third positive case of the coronavirus. That morning, a Quinnahock girl under the age of 10 who had flown to Bethel for medical care tested positive at the hospital. YKHC immediately dispatched a response team to the village. Within hours, six YKHC employees landed in Quinnahock and began testing people who had been in close contact with the child. Each close contact was tested twice, once with a rapid test and again with a test to be sent to a state lab in Anchorage. All the rapid tests returned negative. Those tests sent to the state lab will be processed within 3 to 5 days from the point of testing. The following morning, the response team began community-wide testing. All community members were asked to volunteer for testing and to arrive at the testing site in alphabetical order according to their last name. Rapid and lab tests were done, with all rapid results returning negative. In total, over 350 Quinnahock residents volunteered for testing, about half the village population. Some people could not be tested because they were out fishing. YKHC has advised the young girl who tested positive and her close contacts to quarantine for 2 weeks until June 8th, and all community members are asked to shelter in place until the lab results return. YKHC encourages all YK Delta residents to continue practicing protective measures to slow the spread of the coronavirus by physical distancing from anyone not residing in your household, regular hand washing, wearing a face covering in public, and regularly disinfecting high-touch surfaces in your home. YKHC also urges all travelers flying into Bethel from outside the region to take a free coronavirus test outside the Bethel Alaska Airlines terminal. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Next, in alcohol. Several weeks ago, Philly's Pizza, a restaurant in Bethel, began selling beer and wine via curbside pickup and delivery. Alcohol delivery and pickup was authorized by Governor Mike Dunleavy on April 14th to help Alaskan restaurants and bars generate revenue during the coronavirus-related business shutdowns. But some Bethel residents are saying curbside alcohol sales should be banned under Bethel's local option status. In the last Bethel City Council meeting, Councilmember Mark Springer urged the city manager to find a way to halt or limit Philly's Pizza's curbside alcohol sales. He said Philly's was basically acting as a liquor store for beer and wine.
This is in complete contravention of the vote that we had for local option. It's a slap in the face to the community, it's a slap in the face to the voters, and I don't want to stand for it.
Philly's curbside alcohol sales are allowed by the April 14th emergency regulations announced by Governor Dunleavy. The new rules allow alcohol deliveries as long as the order includes a meal and the meal must account for at least 50% of the purchase cost. But for curbside pickup, the rules are more lax. Customers can purchase just alcohol and there are no limits on how much they can buy. But in Bethel, these emergency state regulations contradict local law. Last October, Bethel residents voted for a local option which only allows restaurants to sell beer and wine for, quote, on-site consumption. City Attorney Libby Bacalar called Philly's curbside alcohol sales a loophole that utilizes the state's regulations to override local option laws.
What Councillor Springer said about a de facto liquor store, I think, is a real concern, and it's a loophole that really couldn't have been foreseen.
The state says Bethel has the power to opt out of the temporary regulations allowing alcohol deliveries and curbside sales. Here's James Holscher, the state's chief of enforcement for alcohol and marijuana control.
If a local community wants to change that, or if they do not want this to occur in their community, the local government has a final say in how an operating a licensee operates.
all it would take, Holscher says, is an email from the city to the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office saying curbside alcohol sales are not legal under local law, and his office would enforce that.
We take the stance that a local government, if they state that it is not followed within their laws and their rules, we are not going to argue that.
Bacalar says the Bethel City Council would have to vote on sending such a protest to the state office. Council members did not immediately reply to KYUK on whether they would support a protest. Todd Perez is the owner of Philly's Pizza and former manager of Caribou Traders Liquor Store. Perez bought the restaurant after the liquor store closed when Bethel went under local option. He says he didn't know anyone was upset about the curbside alcohol sales and said he would be willing to hear people out if they wanted the restaurant to stop the practice.
I'm willing to listen to anything, but nobody's approached me.
Perez says he began the curbside sales and delivery when dining in was limited to try to make up for lost sales. He says even now, after fully reopening, revenue is still down 70%.
I think the governor's intent was to make it so that businesses have a chance to survive through this whole thing.
We didn't lay off anybody, so I think we're doing something right.
Perez also doesn't think curbside beer and wine sales are a problem in Bethel. He says Philly's customers are not the same crowd that came to his liquor store.
They want to have wine with their dinner. We don't have the people wandering around the streets. The vast majority of people at Bethel understand the problem is not with beer and wine.
Perez also points out that Bethel isn't dry, it's damp. People can still order alcohol from Anchorage, and he maintains that Philly's selling beer and wine is no different. Plus, he says Philly's prices are higher than the alcohol ordered from Anchorage. The restaurant charges $5 to $6 per can of beer even when customers buy in bulk, and wine costs $20 to $35 a bottle. Perez says he may end curbside alcohol sales if that's what the community wants. The city council may also force him to stop. If neither of these occur, the state regulations allowing curbside alcohol sales and delivery will expire August 13th. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. Next, in municipal news. The city of Bethel will be receiving $8.4 million in CARES Act funding from the federal government, but the city can only spend it on COVID-19 related expenses. The funds cannot be mixed with the normal operating budget, even though the city is expecting hundreds of thousands of dollars less in sales tax revenue this year because the pandemic has slowed down business. I talked to city officials about how they plan to manage both budgets. City Manager Vinnie Carranza says a formula based on Bethel's population determined how much the city would receive in CARES Act funding, $8.4 million. That amounts to almost 80% of the city's yearly operating budget. According to the CARES Act, Bethel must spend every dollar within 7 months, before December 30th of this year. Any money the city doesn't use by that time must be returned, something City Manager Vinnie Carranza doesn't want to do.
I do not like to give federal money back. Our senators worked hard to give Alaska its share.
But Councilmember Mark Springer says it's probably more realistic to expect some money will be left over.
I don't think there's any way that we're going to be able to spend $8 million on COVID-19 planning, preparation, and response between now and December 30th.
The CARES Act spells out that these funds can only be used for expenses caused by the COVID-19 public health emergency. Carranza says, for example, the city couldn't use it to hire more general assignment police officers, whereas it could pay police officers dedicated to responding to coronavirus calls.
So it has to be related to COVID-19.
City Attorney Libby Bacalar says if the city breaks the rules and uses the funds on non-COVID-19 expenses, it could be fined up to 3 times the amount it is found to have misspent. Springer says the city should have its accountant and attorney on speed dial to make sure any purchases made with CARES funding can pass an audit.
There are going to be an awful lot of auditors working very hard for years after the pandemic is over.
Mayor Perry Barr says the city has already spent $75,000 to keep the Bethel Winter House open. He expects that amount to be reimbursed with CARES money. He also suggested the city could stock up on personal protective equipment.
That's a lot of PPE for the amount of money that we have.
Carranza told the city council Tuesday that he would implement a cab voucher program for elders paid for with CARES funding. It would allow elders to take cabs by themselves without picking up other passengers. The elder would pay the normal flat rate cost and give the cab driver a voucher that would compensate for not picking up additional passengers. Carranza says he hopes to implement this program by June 1st. He also wants to use the money to purchase and renovate 2 buildings, one to use as a quarantine shelter and the other to use as an emergency operations center for the city's staff to respond to future COVID-19 outbreaks. Another idea is to provide residents extra water deliveries for free.
Because of hand washing and sanitation,
residents need to order extra water. So that is definitely COVID-related.
But $8.4 million in 7 months requires a lot of spending. And Carraza says he's open to anyone's ideas.
I do plan to have some sort of a forum to solicit input from the public.
Carraza says he'll schedule a town hall sometime in early June, and he plans to have an itemized budget to submit to the state for approval by July 1st. Assembling that budget may be difficult because the city is without a sitting finance director or assistant finance director. After former finance director Christine Blake quit last Friday, Carraza named himself acting finance director and appointed an acting assistant. He says he'll use the CARES funding to contract a bookkeeping firm to help him keep track of the CARES budget, which he says needs to be kept independent of the city's normal operating budget.
Like a separate accounting system and staffing, because I don't want the money to be commingled.
While the CARES budget may have too much money, the city's operating budget has the opposite problem. Too many expenses, not enough funds. Carraza says the city is expecting a 10% drop in sales tax revenue this year, a loss of about $700,000.
Due to COVID-19, there's less travel, people aren't going to the store and buying things. So yes, we do anticipate a decrease in taxes and revenues.
And that deficit can't be filled with CARES funding. Although the city council has not yet approved the budget, Carraza says his general plan is to make up the difference by eliminating raises for employees and postponing proposed road projects. Council is also considering taking some money this year from the general fund, a fund built up in budget surplus years. According to the city staff, the general fund currently has millions of dollars in it. Council will have to approve the finalized budget before the deadline of June 15th. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.